You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers from the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily local sports podcast network. I'm Chris Manning, your host and the site manager at fearthesword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers blog. If you aren't already, you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Megaphone, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. A five-star review is the absolute best way to support the show, and you can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs. So on today's show, for Saturday, March 16th, I'm going to do something a little bit different. This is going to be something new we're going to try out over the course of the rest of the season, and if it goes well, if you, the listeners, like it, it's something we will likely do next season. And that's going to be to do a mini preview for weekend games that otherwise would not have a podcast in front of them. So for today's show, I'm going to get into the Cavs-Mavs game, which tips off at 8:30 p.m. in Dallas on Saturday night. It is the last game of a three-game road trip that the Cavs are on due to the MAC tournament taking place at the Q. After this, the Cavs do come home for a three-game homestand next week, with games on Monday against the Pistons, Wednesday against the Bucks, and then the Clippers on Friday. If you're going into the odds thing for Saturday's game, the Cavs are a 6.5-point underdog, according to Bovada. 538's Carmelo model gives the Cavs a 17% chance to win this game. Injuries. So as of the 5:30 p.m. injury report on the NBA media site, there has been no official update on the Cavs' various statuses because, according to that site, the report has not yet been submitted. So it's 10:30 on Friday. So let's just say that I do not 100% know one way or the other. If by the time you listen to this, if things have changed, it is very possible. I would say that John Henson is for sure out, obviously. Doesn't seem like he's going to play a game for the Cavs this season. But it is also unclear to me if Larry Nance Jr., Tristan Thompson, Matthew Dellavedova, if those three guys will be active, what they'll be listed as, what their status will be, etc. Kevin Love could be lumped in there as well, but I would expect him to play. If you're looking for an update on when you might get that information, the Cavs have a shoot-around that'll be about 10:30 local time, central time, 11:30 a.m. Eastern time-ish around then is when Larry Drew would speak to the media and then update statuses. So I'm going to give you three things to look for, and then just kind of various things else going on Saturday. So first up, the Cavs are coming off a very bad performance against the Magic on Thursday. In that loss, I think the team's struggles all started with Kevin Love not having a good game. As he said post-game in Orlando, he was, quote, poo with a lot of extra O's. Against Orlando, Love was 3-9 from the field. He had a really bad miss at the rim. He had a really bad airball three. He was 1-3 from three in that game. And I thought the Cavs offense was as bad as it has been since A, Love has come back, and B, when Love was out for most of the year. It was that just hard to watch. So according to Cleaning the Glass, the Cavs had a 92.7 offensive rating in that game. That would be in the 6th percentile for the season. An effective field goal percentage of 44.6, that's in the 9th percentile. And there was basically no positive offensive stat you could cite. Now, the Mavs for the season are not a bad defense. They're 18th in the league, giving up 109.7 points per 100 possessions. That's 6.2 points better per 100 possessions than the Cavs on the year. But it is not a good defense like Orlando's, which is top 10 for the year, was the best in the league in February, has a good scheme, well coached by Steve Clifford, etc., etc. The Mavs also are the second worst defense in the league in March. They've given up 115.4 points per 100 possessions. They're 0-7 so far this month, and only the Minnesota Timberwolves are worse on defense than the Mavericks so far in March. For context, the Cavs are 25th at 113.7 points given up per 100 possessions for what it is worth. So as for Kevin Love in this, I think him being guarded by Dwight Powell or Dirk is a much better scenario for him than being defended by Orlando's length, and they're really smart defensive principles in that Steve Clifford scheme. And I think if Kevin Love plays better, the whole team will be better too. And while the Cavs offense might not be good, they haven't actually had a good offensive game since earlier this week. In their last home game against Toronto, they were not good against Philly, for example, even though they were plucky as a team in that game. The whole team is just going to be better if Love plays better. It's going to make things easier for everybody. So the second thing to look at is a callback to the other time this season these two teams played, way back on February 2nd in Cleveland. In that game at Quick Loans Arena, Luka Doncic was, I thought, by far the best player on the floor. So in that game, Doncic was 13 of 25 from the field. He made 4 of his 11 threes. He had 35 points, 11 boards, 6 assists. He was hitting shots that were just making the whole crowd ooh and ah. He was hitting those crazy step backs. He went on solo runs by himself. He just basically pushed back every time the Cavs had a chance to really make a dent in that game or were putting up any kind of fight. Luka just stepped on the Cavs' throat and pushed them back down. To me, looking back at my notes from that game, watching some clips from that game, that Dallas 32-point win was largely because Luka was by far the best player on the floor. Now, number one, Kevin Love is back, and while Luka is great, I think you could probably argue that Love is still better at this point. I think it depends on your taste and all of that, I guess, but Love is really good, and he raises the talent level of the Cavs, especially if he plays well. Luka has also been in something of a mini slump of late. So he had two really bad games earlier this week against the Rockets and the Spurs. He, you know, did play a little bit better against Denver, coming alive late, and almost had a dunk game winner before Nikola Jokic hit his shot. But he's still Luka. You have to treat him as a real threat, as a really good player. And so let's see if he goes off. Let's see how the Cavs go about defending him too. So if the Cavs roll into this lineup, into this game, excuse me, with Colin Sexton, Brandon Knight, Jetty Osmond, Kevin Love, Ante Zizic as the starting five, or let's say Larry Nance is healthy and they go Love, Nance. The point is that they play two bigs. I think Jetty sort of has to defend Doncic because he's going to be the best defender, or at least the biggest tryhard of the group. That is just functionally he's going to be the best choice to do so. That could mean Brandon Knight defending Tim Hardaway Jr., you know, Colin Sexton defending Tim Hardaway Jr., or something that maybe isn't exactly what the Cavs would want, and there'll be size discrepancies. But if the Cavs want to have a shot and that they go with that two big starting lineup, I think Jetty kind of has to take on that assignment. He did it last time, did okay, gave up some makes, but he actually, I thought, stayed with Luka as well as you could have hoped he would have. If the Cavs want to do something that will perhaps optimize their squad versus Doncic and maybe create some matchup issues, you know, I would maybe try to insert David Nwaba into the starting lineup. So David Nwaba is, as anyone can who has watched this team know, who pays attention to the stats knows, he is going to be the guy that is the best defender on the team. He's going to be the guy that can defend in multiple positions, is going to be the guy that has had the most success this year, really locking down guys. If you think about who's done a good job on James Harden, for example, you know, you could look at Doncic, or you could look at Nwaba, excuse me, and argue that he maybe did one of the better jobs this season on James Harden, who might be the MVP. And if you go back to that February 2nd game, you go back to what Luka did in that game, Luka versus David Nwaba was 4-6. He had 7 possessions against David Nwaba, according to the matchup stats. So he shot pretty well. That's not 4-6. He had 4 points in those situations. The team had 6 points in those possessions. On field goal attempts in those possessions, Luka was 1 of 1. He also took 2 free throws. He made 2 free throws in this as well. So like it wasn't as much as, you know, he torched Jetty. He took 31 shots, had 31 points. The team had 31 points when he was guarded by Jetty. He had 14 specifically against Jetty, 12 on Alec Burks, who's no longer with the team. So while David Nwaba is not going to, you know, like solve the Luka thing if Luka plays well, he's probably the best guy on the team to take on that assignment. I think has the strength to really kind of maybe wear on Luka a little bit, even if Luka has the craftiness to kind of make some mistakes. So I would be curious to see if Larry Drew would decide to go with something like Colin Sexton, Brandon Knight, Jetty Osman, Kevin Love, and David Nwaba with, you know, Love being the five functionally, but like those two guys kind of playing that way just because it gives you a better guy to guard Luka. You know, that could mean like Jetty has to defend Dwight Powell, which isn't, you know, necessarily optimal. So there are some considerations there in terms of thinking beyond Luka. But I think you look at the data from last time. I think you look at the film from last time. Nwaba did one of the better jobs than Luka. So maybe if they're trying to get a win here, that could be something they decide to do. So based on the advanced stats, and this will be our third thing to look at here, Dallas has been one of the worst teams in the NBA in March. As of Friday, when I looked up these numbers at NBA.com, the Mavs had the second worst offensive rating in the league, with only the Knicks being worse. And the Knicks are the only team under 100 points per 100 under 100 points per 100 possessions right now, which is atrocious. And as noted, the Mavs also have the second worst defensive rating in the league. By comparison, over that same time span in March as of Friday night, the Cavs are 22nd in offense, which is a big leap for them considering they've been like 26-ish for the year, and then 25th in defense, which is up from dead last in the league for the year. So while the Cavs are not good, they are more competent than the Mavs right now. The Mavs have been gone from being like, you could talk yourself into maybe them being a fringe playoff contender, to them potentially keeping their top five protected pick. And Luka's been struggling of late too, which is maybe contributing to that. This has maybe been the worst stretch of his career, if that holds true, if these numbers hold true, if the Cavs bounce back from their debacle Thursday in Orlando, then does this make the Cavs more likely to win this game than the betting odds and the 538 analytics sort of would suggest? So those are the three things I'm looking for. What does Kevin Love look like against not as good of a defense? Can the Cavs offense respond in that same way? How does Luka play? How do the Cavs approach defending Luka Doncic? And then the Mavs, who have been really bad of late, does that hold true in this game? And does the Cavs' relative higher level of quality, at least according to the data, give them maybe a better chance of winning? If you're looking at other things to watch on Saturday, the Cavs are one of the only two tanking teams really in action. The Phoenix Suns also play on Saturday against the New Orleans Pelicans. The Suns are on the second night of a back-to-back. They played in Houston on Friday night. So the Cavs are now a game and a half back of Phoenix for the number two spot, two full games ahead of the Chicago Bulls, who are playing after I recorded this 10:30 p.m. on Friday night. So they could be a game and a half within the Cavs or two and a half back once you hear this. So if the Cavs are, depending on what happens Saturday, the Cavs could either be a little closer to Phoenix, a little further behind, or they could be inching closer to that four spot in Chicago, which isn't, you know, really what they want. But that's just something to watch. If you got Tankathon as your homepage, or you check Tankathon or whatever to check draft odds, that's just the one game you're going to want to watch in context of Saturday. That game tips off at 7, so it'll be closer to being over than starting by the time the Cavs and Mavericks tip off in Dallas at 8:30. So that's going to be it. We're going to be back on Sunday morning with a recap of tonight's game. So if you want a question answered in our next mailbag, which will be coming up soon, you can submit those to @LockedOnCavs on Twitter or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. A 5-star review of the podcast on Apple Podcasts does guarantee that your question gets answered, so keep that in mind. At Fear the Sword, check out our game preview, the 2-for-1 and everything else we are cooking up over there in the show notes. You will also find a few math-focused reads from The Athletic and Mavs Moneyball to get a bit more of insight into the Cavs' opponent tonight. And please let me know if you like this. Tweet me at CWMRich, tweet the pod at LockedOnCavs. If you like this little Saturday micro pod, if you would like something different, if you have topics you want, sort of the type of topics you'd want to hear covered on this, I'd love to get your feedback on this. So please shoot me an email, tweet me, and I really appreciate everyone just listening and giving their feedback and paying attention to the Cavs, even though they're not very good right now. So that's going to be it. This has been Locked On Cavaliers for Saturday, March 16th. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.